Okay, so I thought like this. Again, like I said in the afternoon, we're not in a rush. I'm not in a rush. And I'm going to see him coming up tonight. And if I speak a little bit long, again, don't get nervous. Just the first night. I just want to express a couple messages. And I'm so much not in a rush that I'm also a little like in avelis. I'm mourning the fact that we skipped a couple parshias this summer that I need in the summer Bilam. I need Bilam. I need to talk about those things. If I could get chukas, and once in a while if I could get shlach, like these are the most foundational conversations to have about Yiddishkeit. And so I lost shlach, you know, chukas, and then to lose Bilam, I can't let go of Bilam so easily, and I'm not in a rush. Not in a rush, but even though we passed Balak, at least one night you'll allow me grace. We could talk a little bit about Balak. Great to have you. This is every night. That was a commitment. I respect that. I appreciate that. So before we start, usually as a sponsor for the Shmooze, I just want to publicly thank as a guy. Mailuch, I call him Josh Farkas. Josh Farkas is one of the founding fathers of the Kofi Kolo, and continuing till today, one of the managers behind the scenes of Kofi. And it's always by his request that he sponsors the first Shmooze. I had the schuss to dance with him at his wedding just a few weeks ago, a month and a half ago, and I left yeshiva for a day. That was for Josh's wedding. I saw him on Sunday night at another guy's wedding. And he's really not just the groundwork, the foundation of this place, but Ad Hayom Mazeh, six years later, he's the heart and soul of the place. And you're talking about a guy who has kochos ad l'shamayim. He has tremendous kochos. And I feel, he knows that I feel this very strongly about him, so many of those kochos were discovered doing what he did here for the summer. Which means, like I said in the afternoon, you know, it's learning, it's chesed, it's hashpa, and it's a lot of things that you might not yet have figured out, that I myself also have not yet figured out, but we're going to figure it out together. We'll do things together as the summer goes on, be creative, look for opportunities. And Josh was a guy like that, he still is, and he really worked hard at his position to be originally the manager, then I think he got a raise to the CFO, became the CEO of Kofi, and now he's like the Bakol Mikol Kol of everything that goes on behind the scenes of Kofi. He's really, I owe a lot to him. So tremendous appreciation. Also, since that was the first night, I said a little in the afternoon, but I want to say it publicly, what Jeremy Joseph did for us, what Rabbi Yudin did, and both of them, and continue to do, will Mirtz Hashem be continuing to do for us, is tremendous. There's a few people I can't mention, but I just want to say, the few people I can't mention who were behind the scenes in getting us here, we owe them a lot. You know, I have to say something's a little discreet, but somebody said to me tonight, like, what was the cheshbon to come here, and these types of questions, and some things could speak for themselves. And a lot that I see already, I'm really appreciative how welcoming they are, how inviting they are, and it's a beautiful opportunity, and I'm looking forward to the next few weeks to really grab the reins on this opportunity and to give the camp, to give the people here the service that I think they want from us. And if we have to pivot, we'll pivot. But Mirtz Hashem, we should bring a lot of ruchnius, a lot of energy, a lot of good vibes to the camp. So that conversation, this nekuda, I really think there's a lot to learn from Bilam. So we'll start with that. We're going to learn a little bit more tonight than we usually do, but it's kedai. So there's a mission I think you're all familiar with. Kol mi sheyesh biyado shlosha dvarim halalu u'mitalmidav shel Avraham Avinu. Shlosh dvarim acherim u'mitalmidav shel Bilam Harasha. So Mishnah describes a few midos. If you have them, your Bilam's Talmud. If you have different ones, your Avram Avinu's Talmud. And so what's Avram Avinu's Mida? Ayin Tova, a few others, but we'll focus on the first. Ayin Tova is by Avram. And then you're a Talmud of it. Ayin Ra, Talmud of Shel Bilam HaRosha. So, like always, I'm going to tell you a few questions, a few kashas, and kashas are always emes. The kashas are always for sure true. The answer, the mahalach, I'll suggest, it's a suggestion. But the kashas are emes. So, the Mishnah contrasts Avram and Bilam. Avram and Bilam are not, it's not a hero-villain situation. Nobody's going to say Avram and Bilam were the protagonist, antagonist of any similar, any common story. There is a well-known Targum Yonason who says over here that Bilam is Lavan. And he says Bilam is really, his name was Balaam. He swallowed up the nation. And Bikish Lavan Lakor as a call. Lavan wanted to destroy Klal Yisrael, and Bilam took that upon himself too, in his own way. And different ways to understand if it was Bilam was Lavan literally, or he was a son of Lavan, or a grandson, or a Gilgal, and depending how you understand the world, you'll pick your own favorite adventure here. Okay, but so Lavan, even Lavan was the antagonist of Yaakov, not the antagonist of Avram. The Mishnah, when it's contrasting Avram and Bilam, it's not the right fight. Yeah, Avram had also enemies. You could say Avram and stone. You could contrast Avram to me to stone. That's reasonable. But to contrast Avram to Bilam, it's living in two chronologically different time frames. But also if you understand who Avram was and who Bilam were, I would never, if not for this Mishnah, I don't think anybody would consider that contrast. Second of all, if you're asked to describe Avram Avinu, so everybody bepeh molem, everybody in one voice will say chesed. Avram is chesed. Kulo chesed. Tchilasa v'sofo chesed. Everything he did was chesed. The Torah that came, it's really the Torah that Avram originated, that he, the gospel that he preached to the world, the yeshivas that he opened up, that taught these Torahs, and we know about Torah, it's tchilasa chesed v'sofo chesed. The whole Torah. The beginning till the end is a story of chesed. That was Avram Avinu's story. And so chesed is his identity. Ayin Tova. Ayin Tova. I don't think any of us would ever say Avram was an Ayin Tova guy. He had Ayin Tova, nobody's denying. But I don't know if he would say he was the example. And the third question we'll ask is, it sounds like Bilam has Talmidim. If you have these midas, you're a Talmud of Avram. Oh, Gishmak, very nice, good to know. I have Ayin Tova. Oh, Avram is my Rebbe. That's very nice. Gives me confidence to know that I have a good Rebbe. And if you have an Ayin Ra, then Bilam's your Rebbe. Bilam's your Rebbe. What do they mean? Talmud of Shel Bilam HaRasha? Bilam had a yeshiva? When did Bilam have a yeshiva? With Talmudim. Who signed up for this yeshiva? Where was this yeshiva? Who ran this yeshiva? The expression is just the wrong expression. You could say Bilam had Ayin Ra. But Bilam, you want to learn by Bilam, you have to, what's the entrance exam? He's going to test you on your Ayin Ra. I think it's so interesting. There's such a yeshiva in history like this. Fascinating. Even in a joke, even if I would try to make a joke, I can't even in a joke think of a yeshiva or an institution I would try to make fun of in that. Even in a joke, I couldn't like think of such an example. So I'll tell you a story. We'll start with the story. Great story. Again, I know it's the wrong parsha. Like, one of my worst nightmares is, like, I give a great drasha, and it's, like, the wrong parsha. This time, I know it's the wrong parsha. I'm doing that intentionally. But we're gonna, you know, I'm a little sad that we lost these parshas. I'll tell you a story. It says that when Balak came out to greet Bilam, the Medrash writes over there, Ma ra l'kodmo l'gvulim. So he really went out. He went out all the way, you know, down to the furthest road. He went out to the border. Balak went out when Bilam he heard was coming, and he went out mamish to the gates to meet him. It's very uncommon for a king to do that. So he said, "Omar, hagvulin halalu shenikvu mimei Noach." So he says, "I want to teach. Ooh, where are you coming from? Unbelievable. You have a job or no job? Apparently not. Great to have you. We should see you more often. Great. It's great to have good guests. Great to have good. Gerard was here earlier. That's nice to have guys passing through. How far was the drive?
7 minutes.
Unbelievable. Okay, so please come more often. Ritz Hashem will come there also, but feel free to come whenever you can sneak out. We're happy to have you.
Thank you.
So Balak said to Bilam, he said, take a look at these borders. You got to hear this. This is a great thing to know, great thing to understand, that you didn't, the world wasn't created today. Balak goes out to greet Bilam. He says, look at these boundaries of my country. He says, these are the boundaries, shenikvu mimei Noach, and in the days of Noach, everybody's great-granddad, all of our great-granddad, the days of Noach, there was an agreement, a pact, signed. Shalotikonis umo bigvul chaverta. That no nation will cross the boundary, will try to take over the area, the territory of another nation. And Elu, these Jews, these people coming out of the desert, you know, snuck out of Egypt, these Jews, boy lakalka, they're going to uproot this whole agreement that the world had. And he would show them. He said they started already. Look what they did. Colonizers, he called them. It's an ancient narrative. He told them these are the colonialists. They're coming in. They went through Sichon. They conquered that area. They went through Og. They conquered that. And now they're coming to us, to Moab. Who are these people? We have a pact. We have an agreement. We reside here. You reside there. And we have fine boundaries. And nobody disrespects each other. And the Jews are coming, this colonizer narrative. And he continues, and he says, Ma elu boi laru bnei adam, sick people, they're coming to kill. Who are they coming to kill? What did we do to them? Elu boi laru bnei adam v'tinokos, women, children, they're coming to kill babies. They didn't do anything to them. Genocidal people. Genocidal colony, these are twisted people. See, he wanted to greet Bilam at the entrance and say, listen, I'm not trying to make trouble over here. I'm not trying to curse people. I'm not trying to wage wars. I'm not trying to make trouble over here. We got to eradicate the world of all of its evil. And where does evil lie? You know, we heard this once before. The Jews. Oh, that's very familiar to love them. There's a storyline here. And when they came in, you wonder that the whole thing was unwarranted. If you know a little, if you learn a little Chumash, we're not there yet, but we'll get there soon. It's going to be in the summer also. When you get in the beginning of Devarim, there's a mitzvah. There's a mitzvah daraisa, al totsar es Moav. We have a chi of daraisa. We're not allowed to start up with Moav. In Israel, when they were going through the desert, they knew, they have a tzivoy, they're not allowed to wage war with Moab. So they got to Moab, and Bilam and Balak are spinning a whole narrative that the Jews are the cruel, terrible people coming to wage war and take over their territory. We have an issue. It's an issue. We're not allowed to do that. What's he afraid of? The whole fear was unwarranted. There's a Rashi over there on that pasuk, and Rashi says, not so pasuk. Rashi says, the Jews were actually making trouble because the Jews knew they couldn't wage war. So they went to the entrance of Moab all, you know, with ammo and guns and they looked tough. And they looked tough and they tried to scare a little bit Moab because they knew they weren't allowed to attack them. They tried to maybe scare them into defeat, into, you know, giving up. So Moab maybe at that time were a little nervous. They got intimidated. Maybe the Jews would start up. But that was at the beginning of the story. The beginning, maybe Moab had a suspicion that the Jews will actually wage war. But at the end of the story, Bilam says, famously, he says, he was telling Balak at the end of the story, the final prophecy, he told him, I'll tell you, Asher Yase Ha'om Hazeh La'amecha Ba'acharis Hayamim. At the end of days, Yemos HaMashiach, all the Rishonim learn like that, in Yemos HaMashiach, that's when Klal Yisrael will defeat Moab. But until then, you're untouchable. Klal Yisrael is not allowed, and they're not interested in fighting against you. So, Bilam is like fighting a war that he knew the whole time will never happen. At the end, Yemos HaMashiach, at the end of days, maybe something's going to happen. And there's a Tosfos over there who says, "Al oso davar she'ata yare v'chored." On that thing that you're afraid of, Bilam told Balak that they're going to conquer you. He said, "Nah, you should know. Imotis gare bohem al tira mehem. If you don't start up with them, they're not going to touch you." He told them explicitly. So at the end of the story, Balak knew from Bilam's mouth explicitly, nobody's touching Moab. So why at the end of the story is that when Bilam told Balak, "I got a good idea. I got a way to turn this nation against their God. I'll get them into Gili Arayos. I'll get them into Avodah Zarah. And then we'll defeat them." There was no war. Put down your guns. What are you afraid of? At the end of the day, they both knew that nothing's going to happen. There's an Or HaChaim. We'll end with this, and then I'll talk about what I want to talk about. But there's an Or HaChaim who says that the whole reason Bilam told this to Balak is because he was telling him that when you send out Benos Minyan, when you send out the girls to entice Bnei Yisrael, you shouldn't be nervous that Bnei Yisrael maybe gonna kill them, maybe gonna hurt them. They're not allowed. They're not entitled. Those girls are safe. Just send them out and make a lot of problems now. But what incentive? What was he looking to accomplish? So this is what I want to talk about for a few minutes. Until now, just a little akdama, but this is the real Indian that I want to discuss for a few minutes. One of Bilam's truths that he shared with the world was he said, "Tamas nafshi mos yisharim." He wanted to die like a yid. He said, "Vatehi acharisi kamo." My end should be like them. I want my afterlife. I want to go where they go. I want Olam Haba, I want Schar, I want Gan Eden, Tchias HaMeisim. He knew everything. He knew everything and he was excited about it. And he wanted that he should have that. And the Or HaChaim writes over there, there's a lot of people, maybe the Or HaChaim is talking about Jews, there's a lot of people who have this maybe attitude that Bilam had, that I want the end. I want the end. But if you tell me to earn the end now, I tried, and I tried again, and I tried a third time. And how many times already you want me to try? Meaning, yeah, I put my all into it, and I went to a shmooze, and the Rebbe said, like, "Nah, you know, reach for the heavens, and people of miracles, l'malam min ha-teva, all the great ideas that come out of the great shmooze." And I tried, and then I failed, and then I tried again, and then I... At the end, I want what they have. But the process to get there, I can't do it. And so Bilam, he went one step further. Amazing what he did. He had this recognition that he wants Tamas Nafshi Mos Yisharim, he wants the end, but he can't have it, he can't accomplish it, he can't do the process. So there's this phrase that you say, if you can't beat him, join him. Bilam had a better phrase. If you can't beat them, bring them down with you. I want what they're going to have at the end. And I can't join them. Because to join them means I got to earn it and the process is too hard for me. So if I can't join them, but I want the end, then they're not going to get it either. So if I can't get it because I can't go through the process, I'm going to bring them down with me. And send in Bnos Minyan. And this was one of the few, but one of the most noticeable areas that he expressed his Ayin Ra. Ayin Ra means, I don't like myself. Ayin Ra, the way people talk about this, is I have a bad perception or a bad opinion or a bad hope for you. No. Ayin Ra means, you don't like yourself. So much that now you don't like anybody. Because when you don't like other people, it just means you don't like yourself. Ayin Ra starts here. Ayin Ra doesn't start by somebody else. When you see somebody else, he's doing something that bothers you, that annoys you, that frustrates you, gets on your nerves, and then you look at him, an evil look, an evil stare, because you want to, not maliciously, but you want to hurt him. You're not going to admit it out loud, but you laugh a little bit if he doesn't have the best day. I know, we perceive it like I want bad for him. No, that's a mistake. It's a mistake. Bilam only wanted bad for Yidden. He only sent him Benos Midian to ruin them because he hated himself. There was nothing about himself to like. He looked at himself and he knew the MS. He knew the MS more than anybody. The whole foundation of Klal Yisrael is Bilam's prophecies. I don't know which prophet said more foundational pieces than Bilam. Bilam said the most, you read every pasuk, it's like a chiddush. They got to learn up. That's why I'm sad we missed these parshas. Every line Bilam said, you got to learn up. And it's the foundation of our faith. Who was the guy? He was the guy who knew. He had clarity, absolute clarity in his understanding of what a Yid is supposed to be, how a Yid is supposed to live. They couldn't do it. So he hated himself. The guy hated himself. He couldn't look, couldn't stand himself. He didn't want to live with himself. He knew the hypocrisy of his life. He knew what the chachma that he had compared to the meisim that he did. He couldn't stand that. So then he wanted to then project it, to pass it on to everybody around him. And Avram, fascinating guy, this guy Avram. Fascinating. A tzaddik of a tzaddik of a tzaddik that I understand, if you read the Rambam carefully, for 37 years, all he did was Avodas Amidos, to like overcome and grow and develop. But before he believed in Hashem, before. In order to get to belief, to clarity of belief of Hashem. He, Avodas Amidos, 37, again, he didn't stop. But that was his Hakdama, 37 years, Avodas Amidos, what he believed to be true, to live it out. What he understood was MS, to then carry it in his behaviors, in his actions. Just avodah, midos, avodah's development, change, growth, real growth. And such a funny guy. Because this guy who valued emes, and by the time he got to the peak, conversation with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam straight, face to face, a real nevuah that he earned. And this guy who climbed the ladder of emes, and tzidkus, and chesed, you know, that's his midah, chesed, the epitome of chesed. The top of the mountain of Chesed, what does he do? All those evil people in stone, there's got to be tzaddikim. Come on. There's got to be 50 tzaddikim. You know, yeah, you guys look at stone, terrible place, doing all their various. And Avram looked at stone, he's like, there's got to be 50 tzaddikim over there. Hashem's like, I don't know, I can't locate them. I don't know, you're driving a hard bargain, but I just can't find them. I said, okay, Hashem, I could probably find 50, but you could find 40. 40 you can't find. Hashem's struggling out there. And I'll give you 30. You know, 10, we'll get to my lowest bid. 10 tzaddikim. Avraham Avinu, when he saw stone, tzaddikim. What was he? He was like naive, he was ignorant, he was blind. Stone, we hear stories about stone. Stories are nice to hear stories. But you have to really live, envision, put yourself in the story. Stone was a place of atrocity after atrocity of evil. Evil on a communal, on a personal, on a relationship level. And Avram, you know, the opposite, he looked at this place, and if you're the opposite, you should anticipate, you should see how evil the place is. And what did he see? 50 tzaddikim. That's what he saw. All tzaddikim, that's what he noticed. And by Avram, Hashem told him, this is like the punchline of Klal Yisrael. The punchline of Klal Yisrael, very easy to remember where it is. I'll tell you a trick, that's how I remember it. It's could be the most important pasuk, because it's why we got what we got. And it's very easy to remember, because it's Chai Chai. Bereishis 18:18. Very easy to remember, every Yid has to know this pasuk. Va'avram hayo yiyeh l'goy gadol v'atzum. The reason Hashem says why he chose Avram, every Yid has to know this. Why was Avram chosen? And why was Avram the person, v'nivrachu bo kol goyei ha'aretz, that the whole world will get bracha because of him? Ki yidatev, Hashem says. Because I know one thing about him. Let me tell you what I know about this guy. Asher yitzave es bonov es beso achrov v'shamru derech Hashem. Noach was a legend. Shame, Ve'aver, there were a lot of legends. Adam Arishon, you know, we can't talk anything bad about these people. But the first guy that showed up and had an agenda, and his agenda was Asher Yitzaveh Ezbonov Ezbeiso Acharov. Now, you're going to say, oh, that, we all have that agenda. Everybody wants to instill in their children values of Yiddishkeit. No. Avram understood what he's giving up for this dream. Yishmael. Avram said, Lu Yichye Yishmael. He wanted Yishmael, give him a chance. And Hashem said, nah. If you're going to follow this dream, Yishmael's out. And then he has a grandson, Esav. No. If you're going to follow this dream, Esav's out. You're going to alienate a lot of people if you follow this dream. To chase your values, to chase the truth, to live that out, and to understand the challenges of that, the ups and downs, the struggles. It's Avram understood what he was getting himself into. And so I don't know why Noah chose not to do this, but I can speculate. I don't know why Adam, this wasn't his mission. I don't know what Shem Ve'Aver, why they denied this opportunity. But Avram had a vision. And this vision came, from my understanding, one place. He loved himself. He loved what he was living. Those 37 years of Avodas Hamidos, growing, developing, changing, he loved that life. Worshipping Hashem, communicating with Hashem, getting close to Hashem, preaching a gospel of Hashem is one that the world wasn't ready to hear yet. And all he was interested in was that he loved himself so much, loved stone, loved everywhere he looked, loved everywhere around him. And so why did he succeed in building one of the biggest yeshivas that ever existed? Because he loved himself. This, by me, is the introduction to what we do here. In the year, throughout the course of the year, you know, we struggle. People have challenges. And we talk about them, and you have to learn how to overcome challenges. But the biggest challenge a lot of people have, I notice in this generation, I don't know if it's spanned many generations, but certainly this one, is we're taking a break from this. You know, Ayal said to me a line, he got under my skin earlier today, he said to me a line, we were fixing the tables over here, and I put a table over here, and I said, okay, I'll take that table. And Ayal sat behind me originally, until we gave him his own chashev table in the back. And he said, is it going to bother you when you're talking to guys? And it bothered me that he said that. Why? I'm not talking to guys this summer. That's not what I do this summer. During the year, there's challenges, there's difficulties, we got to sit, we got to talk, we got to cry, we're going to do this. This is summer. In the summer, I only want to talk about good things. We're going to talk. But not with sad faces. Not with like, oh, help me, I'm struggling. No. Nobody's struggling here. It's the summer. A beautiful lake, a beautiful sunset, kids running around happy. A couple, you know, maybe not so much, but we're going to make them happy. There's ices in the freezer, Max is happy. what are you struggling? Who's struggling here? Who would struggle? And the reason why somebody struggles, ultimately, we could talk a little bit the truth here, the reason why you stop looking at the good inside. Everything is about like, what am I working on? Stop with this, what am I working on? It's enough already. I'm telling you, I had enough. I'm going to go crazy. I'm working on this. You're not getting anywhere. So take a break. Spend the summer falling in love with yourself. You never did that. Instead of writing all the things, all the problems that I can't overcome, write what you're great at. And only do that. That's it. You're great at eating ice cream? I'll get you a special machine over here. Ice cream's going to flow into your maca. I'm only good at eating ice cream. Great. Let's do it. Get the ice cream flow. Again, the summer's different. You want to work on yourself a whole year, months, you know, an angry looking winter's month. You know how angry people look in the thick of winter's month? Depressed, you know, down, sad. This is the summer. We're going to walk out of this building. Kids are going to see us savvy. Terrible, terrible look. Terrible optics for the camp. Who are these, you know, depressed guys? I see them all. They're talking to this one guy in the corner always. They come out sad and then they have like heart-to-hearts late at night. No, we destroy the whole camp like that. Camp will go under, you know, terrible. Put on Instagram, like these cold guys walking around, like tissues the whole summer. No. No, you want to come to talk to me? I'm talking to everybody this summer. Tell me what you're proud of. Tell me what you're proud of. Forget the rest. The rest, next year. The rest, last year. Not the summer. 5 weeks. We're taking a break. 5 weeks, fall in love with yourself. And I'll tell you a great, amazing thing that's going to happen. And we're not going to lie to ourselves. I'm telling you the truth. You're going to fall in love with other people too. And the reason why Bilam has so many Talmidim, oh, he has big yeshiva. You know, I made a joke in the beginning. I asked the Kasha, like, who's Bilam's Talmidim? That was a joke. You didn't realize I was making a joke. Who's not his Talmidim? Who doesn't hate on everybody? Who's not competitive and looking down on everybody and trying to figure out how like, even though I hate myself, but I hate that guy more. You know, who's not doing that? That's how we live. That's Bilam's yeshiva. Bilam's running a massive industry over here. You know, you're like, oh, I signed up for whatever. I don't want to mention my yeshiva. But and Bilam's like, nah. He's mine. That guy's mine. I own that guy. Because the Ayin Ra. You don't see, again, I'm going to ask you, oh, list the good things. Oh, I'm very good at Kibbutz Avim, and my sister likes me, and then you start struggling, you know. And the first two, you're not even confident about the first two. You're like, who are we kidding? Kibbutz Avim, like, who are we kidding? You know, my sister, like, when she's in a good mood, she likes me. And then, like, I'm not a good learner. Most guys are better than me. Yeah, davening, I can't really concentrate too much. I got all these challenges going on. And my head's spinning with like 40 different things. I'm indecisive. I can't figure out where I'm headed. And, nothing's looking too good. No, don't scare the whole camp. Like, they're going to find out about this. We got to cover this up. We got to wear a nice costume. So the nicest costume to wear is the truth. The truth is a gorgeous costume. All this stuff is it's not true. Bilam taught us the truth. You want to know the truth? The truth is what Bilam said, Lohibit oven. Bilam said, you have to translate the pasuk like Rashi. Rashi says that Hashem, it's very hard for Hashem to see a Jew's, it's clear what I'm saying, but this is how Rashi learns the pasuk. It's very hard for Hashem to look at a Jew's, he says, Averos, and Hashem has a hard time looking at that. For us, it's like so easy. We love looking at that. Oh, look at my Averos. Like, I love thinking about it and talking about it and like, that's all day what's going on in my head. And Hashem, he's like, I'm not so much focused on that. I like when you eat ice cream. When you eat ice cream, I like that. Makes me feel good. I get nafas when you eat ice cream. When you just feel good about yourself. Because what happens, like I said, when you feel good about yourself, you feel good about the people around you. And this is the indicator. The indicator is very, very simple to notice. Like we said in the afternoon, when the kid comes in, and he takes his noodles, and he fills it up with the hot water, and he looks at you, like makes eye contact even, and then spills the spices on the floor, you know, shakes it everywhere, and then all the water, he's making eye contact with you, ha ha, good luck buddy, you know, and you go, and you're like, oh, what would Avram do? You tell me. Avram ran a hotel, 5-star, I don't know, people think of it as like a tent, I don't know, I picture like a 5-star hotel. Avram Avinu's 5-star hotel. What would he do? The cup of noodle soup kid shows up, spills all the spices around. What would Avram Avinu do? He would say, oh, amazing. 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 Do it again. Why don't you do it again? Here's another bag of spices. The first kid threw it out. Take it out of the trash. Spill it again. You know? Let's have a good time over here. You can have, in the summer, please Hashem, I daven, ices stuck to the table. Like soda spilled on the floor and like on your Gemara in between the pages. A kid like right on the page you're learning, it's gone. The page is gone now. You can't even open it. You know, you got like soda and ices in between. And like the kid was like laughing when he was dropping it. Amazing. Amazing. And I'm telling you, you think I'm crazy? You think I'm wrong? If you love yourself, you love everybody. And the indicator is when it's hard for you to appreciate people, hard for you to love people, hard for you to just to see the good in people, it didn't start there. It started somewhere much closer to home. It started usually over here. So this summer, I want the Hakdama to be, you got to fall in love with yourself. I'll tell you a good example. Maybe I'll end with this. The Shmooze also, good to know, is not a lecture. Shmooze is a... I said to Besachis earlier, at the session, it's usually after I speak, he comes up to me and asks me very hard questions that often prove things I've said wrong. He's excellent at that. And he does it afterwards. You're welcome to do it afterwards, for sure. I would encourage and invite if you could do it during. If you do it during also. If guy wants to speak up, say something, you know, respond, I'm all for that. So I wanted to have like conversations together. But tonight was a little bit of a lecture, you'll forgive me. But as we go through this summer, you're going to go in the camp and you have an opportunity to see a lot of terrible things. A lot of people behaving in terrible ways. It's crazy to say, because like, where would you see that? I don't know. But I've heard people in the past describing their experience in camps that they see terrible things. They can't believe this. And how could it be? You really hate yourself. You know, it's not about them. Let's be honest over here. You really don't. You don't like to be with yourself, do you? So it's just like you do to yourself. You do to them too. Not this summer. This summer it's Kulo ice cream, flowing ice cream. If that's your best, if that's the only thing you're good at, let the ice cream flow. And probably you're good at a lot of other things. Just work on that. And you're gonna work on that. And I encourage you to work on that. I'm really good at you know, like again, my language. I think most of us are friends, but if you're not friendly enough with me yet, my language. Some of us are very good with like flirting. You like flirt. You used to maybe flirt with other genders, but now since you don't do it with other genders, you flirt with guys. Like, oh, you look good today. Oh, nice shirt. You know. Oh, you worked out. Like, you know, you flirt with each other. I'm really good at flirting, but that makes a guy's day. Makes a guy's day. You have a meter like that? Work on it. You want to work on something? Work on it. Make it better. A guy's a great manager. So he reads books about management. That's what he does. He wants to hone his skills. So it's not like, oh, we're going to take a break. We're not going to work on ourselves. No, we're going to do the real work. The real work is see your godless, see your milas, see what your strengths are, see what you're good at. Work on it. Become better. You're good at flirting? Flirt more. You know, we said you can't touch kids. You see the kids, you're like, whoa, I heard you had a great game yesterday. Unbelievable. Kids like, I didn't play. Okay, you gotta flirt. You gotta flirt intelligent. You know, you gotta know. You can't make stuff up. If you're good at that, become better at it. If you're a guy who, you know, likes to make people feel comfortable, make sure when the people come in, you're handing out ices, you're handing out free coffee, you're going to pay for it, but they'll get it for free, and you hand out stuff. You realize you like to hop around, so you make good, you know, good relationships, good camaraderie with the colo. It'll be a good time. We're working on it. Work on it. We're working on our strengths. So Meretz Hashem, it should be a great summer, and I'm proud to introduce, extremely proud to introduce, to start the summer. And I'm going to give a small introduction, if I can. So Eitan, me and Eitan go way back, way back. I would say, what is this, 2026? I would say about 75 years. About 75 years we go back. My parents and Eitan's grandparents are boys. They grew up together. And they you know, they from Carpathian Mountains to Carpathian Homes, which is just an hour away from here, we might visit, you know. So I grew up with Eitan's dad in the summers. And now to come here, and he developed a lot. If the Shana'av guys don't know him well, get to know him, because he developed a lot in his 2 years in yeshiva. What he was on day one was amazing, but it was very different than what he was on the last day. True? Very different. He grew tremendously in yeshiva, and I feel like he's my family a little bit. He's one of us, you know? He's one of us. We have a few Carpathians in the room. He's one of us. And on the first night that he could make a siyum, and not just a siyum, you know, it's a nice thing, guy makes a siyum. I was embarrassed a little bit. I reached out to him. I said, like, what do you plan on, like, how do you plan on running it? Like, a couple bags of pretzels, and like, he's like, no. Carpathian kid, you know? No, get Dougies for the boys. Gets Dougies for the boys. Unbelievable. But that's really what I'm trying to describe. I'm not trying to create any financial stress on anybody, but if you could give, You want to give some doggies? Great. You want to give chesed? Great. You want to give a smile? Great. You want to flirt with somebody? Enjoy yourself. But this is the Akdama. This is how I'm so proud to start, that he's not just giving Torah, not just giving a great accomplishment that he worked hard for, but he's also enhancing the matzah and giving to us, letting us enjoy. And it's a big schus that Eitan will be making the first seam of the summer. And yeah, shkara, shkara.